Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
I'm pretty excited about this episode.
Well, me too.
Well, yeah, this is going to be your jam.
Yeah.
But it's such a different slant. So on what we're going to be talking about. So we're going to be talking about the cost of being sedentary.
Okay.
Which we have had multiple survivors contact myself and be like, are we going to talk about how important movement is to lowering recurrence? And I said, absolutely. We've brought it up in other podcasts.
Yep.
We've talked about the recurrence rates and how they're impacted by being not
active.
Be active. But I said, I want to look at it from a different point of view because exercise can be very difficult for some people to embrace.
Especially when you have achy joints and
you
work a 9-to-5 at a desk.
And also, I'd be curious to know if you know this stat because you are one of these people and it's very rare. Do you know what percentage of people routinely go to the gym and work out?
3.
Oh, you know, more than that. 15%.
All right.
15%. But think about that. 85% don't routinely go to a gym and work out. So when you're talking to somebody about a sedentary lifestyle, most of us are not doing it.
Oh, yeah. I'm aware.
I mean, when
I've lost friends because I have zero patience for it, I guess.
For people who aren't active.
Yeah. Or when somebody says, I don't have time to exercise, the thing that wants to come out of my mouth, and I have since learned that you can't be so heartless, is you will have time for disease later because you'll have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This goes back to the whole motivation thing, right?
Yes.
What's your motivation? I would say that it's a pretty strong motivator if you think that it might reduce your disease recurrence.
Yes.
And it's not talked about a lot in the medical setting. But I wanted to do an episode around something that I think everybody can do.
Yeah.
So if you're starting to listen to this and you're like, oh, this is me, and I just already feel like a terrible person because I don't prioritize
this. There's no guilt here
because you're part of 85% of people who feel the same way as you. I'm going to give you something to think about, though. So
we're going to get you to join the 15, and we'll make it 25.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Here's the encouragement from this episode is that you have to do very little in order to up your game.
Oh, sweet.
So this is not an episode about exercise per se. We are going to be talking about a book written by Dr. James Levine, and it's titled Get Up, Why Your Chair is Killing You, and What You Can Do About It.
Ooh.
Your chair.
And full disclosure, I didn't read this book, so this is going to be a nice conversation.
Yeah, no, I didn't want you to read it because I read it, and I'd like to kind of just kind of banter back and forth. So Dr. Levine is an endocrinologist and an expert on obesity, and he presents like this compelling case about the dangers of prolonged sitting and how it affects our health. Mm-hmm. So, Sarah, I have some questions for you.
Okay.
Did you know that prolonged sitting for over 6 hours per day has been linked to a 20% higher risk of dying prematurely?
I did not know that. Even
for people who regularly exercise.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Six hours. I mean, that's
everybody.
That's pretty easy to get because if you're up 12, that's half of it.
Well, and so even for me, if I'm not in a meeting with somebody, if I'm not going to meet with somebody, I'm sitting in front of my computer.
Or even when you're meeting, you're sitting.
Well,
yeah.
So think about this. I'm in front of my computer. If I'm not in front of my computer, I'm in my car sitting. When I'm not in my car sitting, I'm sitting in front of somebody. I am spending the majority of my waking hours, a half of my waking hours, sitting behind my computer or, you know, so 20% higher risk of dying. People who sit for long periods each day are at a higher risk for developing chronic diseases such as obesity, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and some cancers. In one study, sitting for extended periods of time increased the risk of heart disease by 125%.
Good gracious.
I know. And the risk of death from all causes by 50%.
Oh my gosh.
So this is all just from sitting down.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that crazy?
That's insane.
So here we are thinking, oh, we need to be exercising, right? Which we do. There's enough studies out there that say we need to be exercising.
Yeah.
Just sitting is what the culprit is, basically. Yeah. So we're going to talk about some interesting points from the book today. We're going to talk about sitting as a silent killer, the concepts of NEAT, which is non-exercise.
It's how you like your whiskey, right?
I know, right? That's what I thought too when I read it. It actually means non-exercise activity thermogenesis.
Oh.
I know. It's fancy. I think this Dr.
We're going to teach you some big words today.
Right. Dr. Levine coined this after he found his study results. And then like the cultural shift that needs to take place for us to address this issue.
Okay. Interesting. But before we do all that, let's dive into our first sponsor.
Ann's Bra Shop features skilled mastectomy fitters ready to assist you in selecting the perfect breast forms, bras, swimsuits, and camisoles for your post-surgery needs. They have three locations in the St. Louis area: Chesterfield in Wentzville, Missouri, across the river in O'Fallon, Illinois, and a fourth location south on I-55 in Cape Girardeau. Visit Ann's Bra Shop at www.brashop.com to learn more.
All right, let's get into it, Beth.
All right, so can we agree? I mean, human bodies are designed to move.
Yeah. We wouldn't have been born with joints if we were.
Right. Well, to move. And sedentary lifestyles is like kind of a new phenomenon.
I would think so, yeah. Buildings and desks and computers. But there is so much tech, I think, that you can involve now to actually get you moving while you're working.
And we'll touch on some of those things that you can do. But basically, like most people today are tied to their office chairs, you know, for work 8 to 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question. When you're out and about, are you always looking for a place to sit down or are you more prone to stand?
I do enjoy standing.
See, I don't. And this book opened my eyes to the fact that when I'm in a situation, whether it be a social situation or my son's track meets, I'm always looking for a place to sit and get comfortable. And this really hit home with me. I thought, you're meant to stand. When you stand, you're burning way more calories than you are when you're sitting. Like, it was a real eye-opener for me that I'm constantly surveying the landscape for a place to sit. And if it's uncomfortable for you to stand for any kind of prolonged period, that's kind of a warning sign too, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're designed to move. It impacts your productivity and mood. So your mental well-being is negatively impacted when you're sitting around all the time.
Yeah.
Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't. I mean, I know that on the occasion when I binge watch Netflix or something, I don't get up feeling better about myself.
I mean, that's like been the whole thing I argue about scrolling social media.
Yeah.
There's something about it. And it actually, I think it's more like the opposite, that when you move throughout the day, you have more focus and creativity and you're happier.
Yeah. My best ideas, I feel like, come to me when I'm out for a walk or run, or, you know, I do always take my phone because in those moments I got to jot it down. Yeah.
That's so true. When I'm walking or in the shower, those are my two.
Yeah.
That was the two moments where like my brain really gets creative.
I'm glad for foggy glass, because sometimes I'm doing math in there.
Are you writing notes on the shower glass? It's kind of crazy. I mean, it's just nuts how much time we spend sitting down, and it affects your mental health as well. I mean, how much time would you say you spend on a computer or in a car in a day?
I think it greatly depends on the day or the week, but I do know that when I'm being mindful, I will think to myself, you have spent a lot of time on a computer today. You need to go for a walk. And I do my very best to get in. Obviously, I miss days. I'm a human. But
have you seen all those? It's a lot of reels and things like that where they just talk about how important it is to just do a small walk right after you eat.
Yes. Yeah. Even the parenting podcast I was listening to this morning, they talked about just making it a habit to go for a 10-15 minute walk after dinner with your kids. Because, and I experienced this last week, that conversations that happen during that time. And I mean, obviously, it's good for your physical body too and digestion. But
yeah, I think what they say is that when you walk right after eating, even if it's a short walk, you're burning that fuel versus, I don't know, it keeps it from depositing as fat.
Yeah.
Because you're burning through that food that you just ate.
It helps reduce your blood sugar impact.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
All right. Well, before we kind of talk about how we got to this point where we knew our chair was killing us, we're going to kind of dive into his experiment and how he figured this out. But before we do that, let's do Boobs in the News.
Cool.
Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News.
All right, this one's recent. A robot gets a face of living skin that allows it to smile. Do you want to see this picture? It is so disturbing.
I don't know.
Look.
Ew. That's kind of funny.
How disgusting does that look?
It's smiling.
Yeah.
But how? It's got to have muscles in it. Or the robot has...
I think it, they're moving it with the metal and it's like making the skin flex into a...
I was expecting it to look like a face, but it actually looks like a pancake.
Like a pink, fleshy, slimy slime
I could talk
face.
Myself out of thinking that was real flesh.
If humanoid robots make you a bit queasy, would it help if they had fleshy faces that can smile at you?
Nope.
The answer is nope. The uncanny feat is the result of new technology using engineered living skin tissue and human-like ligaments to give robots a more natural smile.
Why?
This, of course, this is Tokyo University researchers who unveiled this work.
Yeah, no. We don't need this.
Oh my gosh. In this study, somebody funded this.
Yeah.
That's what let's just take a moment and say that the boob is the person that funded this study.
Yep.
We got people out there with real problems. Right?
We don't need to put skin on a robot.
Gosh, what is wrong with people? Somebody got pitched this idea and they were like, you know what? Yes,
real
I will.
Skin.
Yes, I will give you millions of dollars to put real skin on a robot.
No.
Okay, it says, in this study, we managed to replicate human appearance to some extent by creating a face with the same surface material and structure as humans. In the process, we identified new challenges. Oh, really?
Really?
That's weird. Such as the necessity for surface wrinkles and a thicker epidermis to achieve a more human-like experience.
No.
This approach promises to make robots more lifelike, and in the future, similar techniques could also be used on humans in cosmetic and plastic surgery industries. You're going to totally change. This is so gross.
I've thought about this before. I don't think robots are far off. Like, I don't think that movie with Will Smith AI or whatever is that.
No, I think Elon Musk has been warning us of this.
It's going to happen.
It's happening.
I don't know. But if it does, I don't want them to have real people skin.
This is so disturbing.
Yeah. We don't want our robots to actually look like us.
I don't want robots at all. I'm with you. I think there is something really disturbing about it.
Yeah.
This is not good, people.
I already don't like checking my own self out at the grocery store. I don't want a robot to be doing it.
Hello, Sarah Hall.
Hello.
I noticed that you got the Oreos.
I already feel really bad because I talk to my Siri like it's a real person. I'll be like, Siri, tell me this. And I'm like, thank you, Siri.
I felt like, a little bit disturbed this morning because I was making my daughter's bed for her because I couldn't take it anymore.
Oh.
And I asked her Alexa in her room what the high was going to be for today. Uh-huh. And she told me. And then she said, would you like me to tell you anytime snow or rain is going to move in? Just say yes. And so I was like, okay, yes. And then she goes, okay, I will notify you of impending weather at 7 p.m. every evening for the following day. And after she did it, at first I was like, that's cool. And then I thought, that's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gone are the days when the kid just wakes up and goes, I need to step my body outside to see what to wear.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is the grossest thing I've read in a long time.
Yeah, that's pretty
shame
nasty.
On the person that funded that study.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's your bibs.
Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news.
We're back. Let's talk about this experiment that this doctor did where he coined the word neat. So basically this doctor, he had a group of people and he divided it into two groups and he gave each of them 1,000 extra calories a day.
Okay.
For 8 weeks. And he wanted to see who gained weight or if anybody was going to gain weight. What would you guess? I would guess if you're going to give everybody 1,000 calories extra a day, everybody's going to gain weight.
So did one set of people exercise and one set didn't?
No. They recruited random people.
Oh, random lifestyles?
Random lifestyles. Oh. Actually, they made sure that they were not in that 15% that exercise.
Oh, so they were mostly sedentary.
These were the people who do not go to the gym. They don't participate in exercise. These are every day. This is the 85%.
So you're asking, did they all gain weight or did they not?
What would you guess? Like
they would all
gain weight, right?
Yeah.
Nope. So only half gained weight. They tracked their movement throughout the entire day. Do you know how they did it?
Huh.
This is funny. They made underwear with sensors in it.
That's weird.
So they made, because it would literally detect every time they did anything.
Oh.
And so they all wore this underwear with sensors in it that basically tracked their every movement. They gave everybody 1,000 extra calories every single day. They tracked all the participants. And at the end of it, they figured out half the group gained weight, half the group did not.
Okay.
The group that did not were the people who were moving around more in the day.
Okay.
They were not sitting behind a computer. They were not sitting in their cars. They were, so like, I think of my brother-in-law. Uh-huh. My husband sits behind a computer for 8 hours a day, he gets up only for lunch.
Yeah.
In which he's also sitting while he eats.
Right.
My brother-in-law is in construction.
Yeah.
And he walks around constantly.
Constantly.
Constantly. He's never gained weight the entire time I've known him. He has looked exactly the same. This is essentially where this NEAT came from. Because these people who just naturally move more in their day are the ones, it did not matter that they got 1,000 extra calories a day. It didn't matter what they were eating.
Because their just metabolism was just different.
Their metabolism, they're constantly moving. And
okay.
And this guy goes on to say that just the smallest things like twitching.
Yeah.
You know, like twitching.
I have heard like just leg bouncing. It makes a difference.
Yeah. Like the littlest things, or taking the stairs at work or parking farther away, which we've heard these things before.
Yeah.
But now we have scientific evidence that shows.
We should do it.
It makes a huge difference.
Well, and is this not why Apple put the whole you need to stand up every hour?
So this doctor and his team went to Apple and pitched them this data. And guess what happened? Now we have all these sensors in our walk or our watches that, like, so I have a Fitbit. I think you have an Apple Watch, right?
I now I have a Fitbit.
Okay, yeah. So my Fitbit tells me every hour I get a little buzz that says you need to move. That comes from this.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Way to go, Levine.
Yeah. So this NEAT means, let me say it again. What does it mean? I can't figure out where it's. Oh, NEAT. Non-exercise activity thermogenesis.
Non-exercise activity thermogenesis.
It's just everyday movements.
Or you could just be like, I'm getting in my NEAT movements.
Yeah. They basically said that NEAT can be an effective way to combat obesity and related health issues. How many women do we have that are complaining about weight gain after breast cancer?
So many.
Right?
Yeah. And,
or just menopausal women.
Yeah.
All of a sudden we start gaining all this weight. Wouldn't it be interesting if we were able to survey them about how much of their day they're spent sitting?
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
What are the implications here for, for weight gain, both in menopause or post-breast cancer?
Yeah.
So it says, even though they weren't doing formal exercise, they were moving more throughout the day. They burned off a significant portion of the extra calories through activities such as standing, walking, and fidgeting.
Huh.
So it says the difference in weight gain among participants was almost entirely explained by differences in these activities. They were basically burning anywhere from like 350 calories up to 600 extra calories a day.
Wow.
So they were getting protected from this extra weight gain despite consuming all the extra calories.
Wow. 600 calories a day from fidgeting?
From fidgeting, from standing. So this got me thinking about, he was the one that kind of got that whole treadmill desk thing started.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And I've thought about getting one of those.
Yeah.
Because I sit all day long and I thought, wow, could I work standing up on a treadmill?
Yeah, you totally can.
I think it would be a huge adjustment. They did a bunch of experiments in office buildings when he kind of came across all this data, and they took people's chairs away in the corporate setting. People got mad.
Yeah.
They got mad.
Well, but just think, we already said that our best ideas when we were more creative came to us while we were walking. So the walking desk, I would think, would make you almost a little bit more productive because, you know, you're typing an email and you're like, what do I say? And you're walking and you're thinking.
I think it would make you more productive. I mean, offices who are really forward thinking, and I think this is where the Apples come in and all that, they're going to embrace this and say, ooh, not only are we going to make people healthier, less fat, but we're also going to get
insurance costs.
Right. And get more productivity out of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but it's a cultural shift, which we're going to get to. It's like, take away people's chairs and people get real cranky. So basically, this doctor points out that one of the primary causes of obesity in the modern world is decreases in NEAT. And so obese individuals sit 2.5 hours more per day than lean individuals.
Okay.
Which makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And so this goes back to my point about always searching out a chair. He says that as we get older, we're constantly seeking comfort.
Yeah.
So, you know, we want to have our air conditioning on. We don't want to be too cold or too hot. We want to just constantly be seeking this perfect comfort. And I thought, that's so true.
Yeah.
We're never allowing,
like, really challenging our bodies.
Yeah, we're not challenging our bodies to not be comfortable or to adapt to uncomfortable situations. Yeah.
But it's really, if you think about, sweating is a detox pathway. So good for your body. Or just walking or exercising, for some that's uncomfortable. That is a exercise pathway. You know, there's so much about pushing into a little bit of uncomfort sometimes that.
I know. I think I said it this morning. My son couldn't find his sweatshirt before school and it was really chilly out. And I hate being cold. Uh-huh. I hate being cold.
Same.
And so when I had to send him out the door without his sweatshirt and he was like, I'm going to be cold all day, I felt so guttural sad for him.
Yeah.
Because I hate that feeling.
He's only going to be cold for a couple hours in the morning. It's supposed to be 80 this afternoon. Is it? He's going to be fine.
Okay, good. But I mean, it really did. It reminded me of this episode because I'm thinking, gosh, I hate the idea of being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
My worst thing is when I go to a movie or I'm sitting in a meeting and it's ice cold.
You can't concentrate.
And I can't think about anything other than getting more comfortable. Yeah. But this has really set me down this path of maybe I embrace the suck.
Well, there's so many. I think about so many practices now that I've sort of wanted to adopt or have adopted post-cancer. And sweating is so good. I used to think sweating was like the most evil thing ever because not only now I'm pitting out my clothes, but now I got to shower because my hair is looking greasy and my makeup is running down my face. But sweating is actually so good for your body. And so just getting in a sauna, uncomfortable, but so good for you. And then cold plunging.
That's sort of like in the
media and everything. And that's super uncomfortable. So yeah, interesting.
Yeah. So let's talk about the implication for cancer patients.
All right. Let's talk about it.
I've shared this data before. It's pretty out there that breast cancer patients in particular that engage in regular physical activity have somewhere between 24 and 60% lower risk of recurrence compared to those that are sedentary.
That's amazing.
And in colorectal cancer, which is, I think, starting to overtake breast cancer in terms of diagnoses, they get like 40 to 50% risk of recurrence and death. So we've said this before. We can't really ignore the fact that exercise
does so many good things for your health.
It's more effective than any pill you're going to take.
Yeah.
So we can't get away from that. But if you're listening to this and you're just like, I hate exercise, well,
fidgeting, stand up. I wouldn't call that exercise. Call that living.
Yeah. Don't look for the chair. Get yourself a treadmill disc. Yeah. You know, start taking the stairs everywhere you go. Yeah. You know,
park far at the back park of the parking far. Lot.
Like, do those little things because, I mean, now we have data that's saying this is like huge.
Yeah.
You know, so when you don't have movement, you have worse outcomes. You have weight gain, you have reduced immune function, you have increased inflammation, which all promote cancer recurrence.
Yep.
So we really can't afford to ignore this. We can't afford to ignore it.
Yeah.
Agree?
And there are so many. Oh, yes, I 100% agree. I don't think that it should be ignored at all. But I'm also camp exercise all day. So, or just movement in general, just moving.
It does
so much for your mental health, too.
It does. It's a habit. It's habit forming, though. So if you can start with those small steps, you know, get the Fitbit that tracks your steps every day.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do make a conscious effort to get 10,000 steps. I was so excited because yesterday I got 20,000 and I thought, well, that's 2 days. That's 2 days worth. I went to the zoo.
Oh, okay.
That's 2 days worth of steps.
Yeah.
You know.
Done for tomorrow.
I know. It does make you feel a little bit like, well, I've kind of, you know, got some goodwill in the bank.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there needs to be a cultural shift. No.
Yes. Yeah.
I think we're just so lazy.
We are. Yeah. I mean, I sat at the girls' soccer game this weekend and I could have been standing there. It was a beautiful weekend and there's just chairs everywhere. You bring stuff and the expectation is you sit. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine. I could do it for my son's cross country meet because he runs for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
When you do a track meet, that's an all-day affair.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But certainly there's plenty of opportunity to sit there and intermingle your standing with your sitting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Instead of just... So anyway, I thought this book was super interesting because... And he talks about the cultural shift. He makes suggestions about how companies really need to get on this and start allowing it. I don't know. The experiment didn't go great when they took away employees' chairs. So I don't know what that looks like.
Well... As I was listening to the parenting podcast this morning, and it was about taking away your kids' phones and everything. In the moment when it's something that they're used to, taking it away, they're of course going to be mad and revolt and get angry. They're not going to be like, "Oh, sure, take my chair, that's fine." But in the long run, they might thank you.
Yeah. Well, the in the experiment where they did it and they took all the chairs away, they didn't say you couldn't go get your chair. And so they were like, we want you to try this. We think it would be good. Here's the data behind why we're asking you to do it. People got their chairs for a couple different reasons. One, actually, that's a different topic because they also had gyms. They put gyms into the corporate spaces and then people weren't using the gyms. And when they asked the employees, why are you not using the corporate gyms? And they said, because we don't want people to think we're not working. So there was that so productivity.
That seems like a cultural shift too.
Right. Yeah. So like they had these mini gyms on the floors of their office building and yeah. they were encouraging people to go work out or just get on the treadmill mm-hmm. for 15, 20 minutes here and there. And people weren't doing it. And they thought, we spent all this money. Why aren't you doing it?
Yeah.
They didn't want people to think they weren't being productive or weren't working hard. That was one issue. The other issue was most people went and retrieved their chairs out of the basement because they just couldn't get over the idea of standing. Mm-hmm. But they did have, you know, a handful of people that incorporated the change into their lifestyle mm-hmm. and started standing at their desk, which mm-hmm.
I think what I find so silly about all of that is that, I mean, maybe it's not silly, maybe it's just a cultural thing, is that your exercise should be so important to you that you are trying to get it in outside of your work time. What a treat that your company is allowing you to do that. But there's also the whole timing. And I think about this all the time. I like to work out in the morning or in the afternoon because then I can shower and be done for the day. Mm-hmm. Working out in the middle of my or like doing exercise or whatever, depending on whether you're going to get sweaty or not.
Oh, yeah. No, it totally impacts that because if I have meetings,
I've got a meeting
can't...
in the afternoon, yeah. I can't go get sweaty now. Yeah.
No, yeah. I agree with you. But what this study's saying is that you don't have to get sweaty.
No, if you're just go for a walk.
If you're just play basketball on the treadmill, yeah. you know, and walking. So he says small changes matter. He encourages small, sustainable changes, standing while talking on the phone, taking the stairs instead of the elevator, mm-hmm. parking further away from the entrance. We've talked about all those. Consider a standing desk or walking meetings. I do that. I'll walk my neighborhood while I have meetings. If yeah. I know I don't need the Zoom.
Yeah.
But basically, you have to do it.
Yeah.
Do it, people.
Just do it.
Just do it. So
do like Nike says.
Right. Exactly. Best slogan ever. Yeah. All right. Before we close out, second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors.
All right, we're back. Are you surprised by any of this, or does this kind of just fit into your mindset already?
I think it fits into my mindset. I think for a long time, I have always thought it has to be a very sweaty, long workout. So I think the most surprising part was that mostly just fidgeting and standing can count into that activity.
Yeah.
Movement.
I think yeah. that's highly encouraging for people.
That's super encouraging.
For people like myself who don't love the gym.
Yeah.
And don't want to lift a bunch, you know,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
You can go down that rabbit hole all day long.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there thinking.
There are benefits to everything. But if you just want to start someplace, just get off your butt.
Get off your computer. Start standing more. Right now, I've made my dining room buffet my makeshift tall desk.
Oh, smart.
So that I stand there while I do it and uh-huh. I try not to sit at the chair.
Yeah.
It's an adjustment.
Get on Marketplace. You can always, Facebook Marketplace has got up and down desks all the time. Costco's got them.
That reminds me. Okay, well, maybe I'll have you get on Marketplace and find me a desk. And yeah. then I also need you, I have an extra mini trampoline I need to post.
All right, we'll just add it to my to-do list.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Get on my Marketplace and find me some stuff.
Oh, jeez.
All right, guys, until next time.
See ya.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.